So our first reading here this evening from the book of Genesis retells a story of the 40-day flood. So 40-day flood, 40 days of rain. Then we have, of course, Jesus in the desert for 40 days in the midst of 40 days of now Lent for us. And there's always this connection between 40, 40, 40 throughout both the Old Testament and the New, and even into our own liturgical life here this year during Lent. Now, we oftentimes forget the fact that each year on the first Sunday of Lent, our gospel always comes to us featuring the temptation of Jesus in the desert. And as you know, we're in the Gospel of Mark, year B, so we're focusing on Mark. And we have a very short, that's Mark's style, remember, description of Jesus' time in the desert. Matthew and Luke get into all sorts of more details, but Mark just tells us the basic facts about Jesus' temptation in the desert. So first we're told that the Spirit immediately, remember that's Mark's word, the Spirit immediately drives Jesus into the desert. So this is God initiated. This is not Satan initiated, okay? That's a really important point. This is God initiated. Number two, we're told that he was in the desert 40 days. And so his 40 days in the desert sets a pattern for our 40 days of Lent. We're told that he's tempted by Satan. It's a real temptation. We'll break that open here this evening. We're told that he was with wild beasts. Not sure what that means exactly, but there are wild beasts there. And then finally, we're told that angels minister to Jesus. So Jesus is not alone in his temptation. He is ministered to by angels. Now, as we try to unpack and understand this whole scene from the Gospel of Mark, I think it's really important for us to have some context in terms of what happened immediately before the Spirit drives Jesus to the desert. The scene, the event, the mystery of the life of Christ that happened just before this was, of course, his baptism. And there is a deep, deep connection. There's a deep correlation between Jesus' baptism and his temptation in the desert that we have to get right for this to make sense. And this occurred to me this morning. This is just a side. We know that the Christmas season, there's different feast days during Christmas, right? We have Christmas, and we have the Feast of the Holy Family, then we have Epiphany. But the last feast for the Christmas season, way back in January, was the baptism of the Lord. So the baptism of the Lord always ends the Christmas season. Then we pause, we do the whole ordinary time thing, and now we pick up again today, the first Sunday of Lent. Where are we? Jesus' temptation in the desert. So in some ways, the liturgical calendar is even following the life of Christ in a very scriptural way. His baptism followed by his temptation in the desert. So why is his baptism so crucial? We know that John the Baptist, his cousin, was preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. That's what John was preaching. Be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. And Jesus comes to John on the shores of the Jordan River. And what does Jesus do? He is baptized. Now, anytime we hear that, we say, huh? That makes no sense. Why would Jesus need to be baptized, right? If John was preaching a baptism of repentance from sin, and Jesus was without sin, why would he need to be baptized? It's crucial to see and understand that by doing that, he is showing, yes, humility, but he's also revealing his identity as a Messiah who steps right into sinful humanity. He steps right into the brokenness, right? Jesus doesn't just remain immune from brokenness in the human spirit. Jesus steps right in the mud, so to speak. That's why he enters the waters of baptism in the River Jordan, to enter into the messiness and the brokenness and the muddiness of humanity, yet without sin. Now, we know the scene. He goes down into the water. He's baptized by John. He comes up from the water. And what happens? Mark then says, immediately, the heavens are opened. The heavens are opened. And the Holy Spirit descends upon Jesus. Why would Jesus need a descending of the Holy Spirit? Was this just some type of manifestation? Or was it something deeper? Right? So what we know, stay with me, what we know is after Jesus was baptized, the heavens were opened. And notice, everyone, it does not say 2, 3, 4 verses or chapters later that a couple days later, the heavens were then closed. Okay, it doesn't say that. Nowhere in the Gospel of Mark does Mark come back and say, by the way, the heavens were then closed. What then is the implication? The implication is they're still open. The implication is that once they were open, they stayed open. They were not closed. And that is essential in understanding the public ministry of Jesus, because Jesus ministered under an open heaven. What that then means is that it became his mission from that day forward to have access to the glory of heaven, to have access to the power and mercy and glory of heaven, not just as the Son of God, but as man. In Jesus' humanity, in his human nature, he is exercising his public ministry. And as man, he has access to the glory of heaven, because his humanity has been anointed by the Holy Spirit. And now what he's doing in his public ministry is he is distributing those realities to those who encounter him. So Jesus, true God, true man, in his baptism, has received an anointing of the Holy Spirit on his human nature. The heavens are still open, and he's now ministering to those who encounter him through the heavens being opened. Now, that brings us to today, his temptation in the desert. After his baptism, the Spirit immediately drives out Jesus to the desert. Now, Jesus does battle with Satan. Let me ask you this. Does he battle Satan in his divine nature, or does he battle Satan in his human nature? He was baptized in his human nature. His human nature received the anointing of the Holy Spirit, which means then he is fighting Satan. He is going to do battle with Satan, not in his divine power as God, but in his human nature as man. By the anointing of the Holy Spirit, he will do battle with Satan. Now, some of you think, Father, you're getting really close to heresy here. Let me explain. If Jesus wanted to fight Satan in his divine power as God, would that even be a fight? In a nanosecond, Satan would be annihilated. They didn't even have nanoseconds back then, but in a nanosecond, that quick. If Jesus was doing battle with Satan in his divine power, it would be over. But the temptation endures, doesn't it? And so that then tells us that he is doing battle with Satan in his anointed human nature. Now, to back up this craziness, there's a quote from St. Lawrence of Brindisi, 17th century Italian Franciscan theologian and priest. Here's the image that he used to describe this whole fight in the desert. He used the analogy of a boxing match or a fight. I don't know if they had boxing in 17th century Italy, but anyway, nonetheless. Imagine a fight, somebody duking it out with one another. And here's the image. Christ conquers Satan with the right hand of his divinity, bound, and using against Satan only the left hand of his weak humanity. This saint agrees with this interpretation, that Jesus is doing battle with his anointed humanity. He had a pretty good left jab, I think, huh? Now, all of that being said, why is this so important? Why is this so significant? Why does this matter for you and for me? Here's why. Everyone, how do we face temptation? How do we live Lent? How do we fight spiritual battles that are real for you and for me? The way Jesus does. Under the power of the Holy Spirit. Through the anointing of the Holy Spirit is how we do spiritual battle. Through the anointing of the Holy Spirit is how we live Lent. Through the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit is how we face temptation. Are we living right now in your life and mine in a closed heaven or in an open heaven? Are we walking and living and thinking and believing as if heaven has closed for me? Or am I living as Jesus lived, with an open heaven access to the Father through Jesus Christ? I bet many of us here tonight are living in a closed heaven, as if all access to the Father has been shut down. That is not true. You and I have access to the Father through Jesus, and we have been anointed by the Holy Spirit through baptism. And we fight temptation, and we fight evil, and we live Lent, not through doing spiritual push-ups and trying harder and white-knuckling it and just trying to get our stuff together. We live Lent as anointed sons and daughters of Christ, the Anointed One, because the heavens have been open and they are still open. Let's live Lent anointed by Christ.